Back to Dr. Porter, though, and just the whole brain tap and what he can do with helping you get over some of the things we talked about in that last segment. One of the things that he did say, though, that it just resonates with me, because I can see this in not only my life but in the lives of others, and that is that whole conversation he had about you are who you hang out with. And I think, especially for us as conservatives, it is important for us to be careful with who we surround ourselves with. What I mean by that is, as much as things can get us down, I watched, you know, Joe Biden on air, or before coming on air, watched his speech and just some of the things there. And while, yes, the country seems to be spiraling down the drain hole, I get that. On the same token, there's a lot of positive things in each one of our lives that we need to be looking at as well. And my point is, we can't just constantly, day after day, talk about all the negatives that are going on in life. And I know there's a lot of them out there. But if that's what we surround ourselves with, and we're constantly bombarded by all of those negativity, the negative thoughts, and those sorts of things that are out there, we will become that. And by the way, I don't care how positive of a person you are, this can infect, you heard what I said there, not affect, but infect each and every one of us. It's so important to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with people that are positive. I know we got to look at things realistically, and there are things we need to do. You can't always have a pie in the sky look. I understand that fully. But I also know that if we're not careful and all we do is surround ourselves with that negativity, we soon become that as well. And folks, I will tell you right now, I can tell you in my entire lifetime, Charlie, I'm sure you will agree with this, I've only known a handful of extremely successful negative people. And I think those people that became successful that were still negative Nellies only did it because they either inherited it or they fell into a business that no matter what, you couldn't screw it up and they were going to make money, period. But in general, negative people are not successful in life. There are but a few exceptions to that. So, folks, I'm here to tell you, if you want to be more successful in every area of your life, you've got to surround yourself with people that will make you that way and not be constant negative Nellies day in and day out. All right, hour two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard Battle joining us now, as he does each week. Richard, welcome. How are you today?
John, I'm doing great, and I was cheerleading your previous monologue about positivity
well,
a few minutes ago. So I celebrate that. You did a great job.
Well, and I think at times, you know, especially us in what you and I do on a normal basis, that was probably as much to me looking in the mirror as it was to, you know, talking to anybody else, because I have to be reminded of that as well, Richard. I mean, there are a lot of things you and I do daily where we look and analyze even a lot of the negativity that's out there and the things that are going on, and we have to be reminded that that's not the only thing we have to look at.
That's exactly true. We all need encouragement and uplifting.
That's right. All right, let's talk about how it's about more than the gold or the Benjamins.
Well, there was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer a couple of weeks ago about a family who was suing the federal government for information about a lost Civil War gold shipment. And people have been looking for that shipment since 1863, and this family's been looking for it for decades over multiple generations. And it just got me to thinking about the balance in life and where money sits with all the other things in life, and how our culture promotes us skewing our life to a more emphasis on the acquisition and having money.
How should we say? Again, it goes back to that balance. I guess we talked about that a little bit even in that last hour with your brain. Well, it applies to other things in life as well. Now, I will also say that I think there's some folks out there, Richard, that probably should look at what they're doing in their money world a little bit closer, but you can't have that be your only focus. That's what you're really saying.
Well, yes, and we all need money to live. And I've been broke, and I've had money.
Yep.
Having money is better than being broke, as I think everyone would attest to. But the root of the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, as it says in the Bible. And that's the thing. It's the love of money. We all need money. But are we obsessive about it to the point that it distorts our life and relationships and affects us long term. And that's where I want to focus on today. And the other thing I recognized was in Life's Daily Treasure, I look at over 2,000 entries covering 366 days, and there's not one reference to money in the entire volume. It's all other things that can help enhance our lives.
Well, I also know, Richard, and so do you, and like you. I mean, I've had it. I've not had it. It's, you know, it makes life more, how should I say, not always easier, but it's a little more comfortable is probably the better way to say it, Richard, when you have it versus when you don't. But there's no amount of money, and it's in my notes, that can buy peace, happiness, joy, love, friendship. And even though folks might think that money buys some of those things, it buys none of that at all, Richard. In fact, depending upon who you are, it might actually make every one of those items we just mentioned worse.
Yes, and two examples I'll give. The old Southern comedian, Brother Dave Gardner, said, money won't buy you happiness, but it'll buy you a better brand of misery, which is so accurate. And yes, sometimes if you have too much money, you'll have an entourage around you to make sure you don't keep it very
well,
long.
You know, and Richard, let's stop there for a moment, because, you know, you really do see that. And I'm not trying to be, you know, judgmental here, but I think where a lot of professional athletes especially, happens with musicians and other folks as well, even movie stars, but, you know, professional athletes especially, I mean, these kids, they come out of high school, they end up in college, they're wined and dined in college, they get out of college, they get a big contract. The average life spent in the NFL, by the way, is 2.3 years, but they don't seem to think about that when they've got that big multi-million dollar contract they just got signed. They don't think about injuries or, you know, what will happen after. And we all have seen the pictures, Richard, or even seen video of where the entourage, as you say, is surrounding that particular, you know, ball player, whoever they happen to be. And you and I both know the money is just getting doled out hand over fist to the point where most of those guys, after leaving the NFL or the NBA or whatever it happens to be, are broke.
There's too many stories, examples of that, and that's true. And when they're broke, the entourage is gone.
Right. They're nowhere to be found any longer.
And as we get older, it's interesting. When we're young kids, Christmas is all about the material things.
Mm-hmm.
But as we get older, we value the other things of life. And my daughter this year bought something off Amazon, and the company went out of business, and she told me she still owed me something for Christmas. And I said, don't worry about it. I said, the things that I would like, no one can buy.
That's right. That's right. And to your point, I think as we get older, we see more and more of that. But let's keep going. I mean, we still, humans in general, they pursue riches. In fact, Richard, and I want to be careful I say this, I don't want to step on toes. Really, that is not my intention here, folks. I don't want to step on toes. But I talked on our National Crawford Roundtable, Bob and I together a few weeks ago even, talked about how some of the greediest and stingiest non-giving people, Richard, I've ever met are also some of the most broke people in a lot of respects, not just financially, but in other areas as well. And yet, those same individuals have no problem going out and buying, you know, lottery tickets or things along those lines.
Well, that's true. And again, that's going to go to the balance that we'll talk about a little later. The movie Broken Trail, which is a movie I love, Robert Duvall starred in it. He's trying to teach his nephew the business of herding horses before he passes away. And after they go through all these difficulties, the nephew says, this drive's getting less profitable every day.
Yeah.
To which Duvall replies, son, you never measure wealth using money.
Right.
And I think that's such a great line. And if you'll remember, and we just saw it a few weeks ago with Christmas, Such a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and all the hassles with money in that movie. But at the end of the movie, his brother drinks to him, saying to my brother George, the richest man in town, because George had all the things other than money that were important.
Mm. Great point. And again, as we said earlier, there's nothing wrong with, you know, hunting that treasure, I guess you could say, or pursuing wealth. I think the key that, you know, that I would at least advise other folks on, Richard, is it really comes back down to balance and what is your real focus. In other words, why are you pursuing it? What's the end goal there? That's how I would look at it, and that's the question I would be asking.
Well, yes, and the two takeaways that we'll talk about are priorities and balance. And our priorities should be faith, family, and relationships. And yes, money helps all of those things as well, but the obsession with money and the love of money can take all of those things away from us in the pursuit of that money as well.
That's right. And I think, again, it comes back down to, you know, what are the goals? You know, as a pursuit of it so that you can provide, you know, better things for your family. And by the way, probably worth asking them if these are things they actually would like and enjoy, because sometimes the pursuit of those things can destroy a family at the same time. So it's very important to, I think, ask all those questions at the same time. And again, it comes back to those, you know, priorities and balance and those sorts of things. You know, I also know that families, Richard, unfortunately, a lot of them don't realize that if they want that nice Walt Disney World family vacation, you know, dad or mom or both may have to put in some extra work or overtime or do whatever's needed at the family business to be able to pay for said vacation. So again, everybody in the family has to understand there's a balancing act there.
Yes, and balance is the other piece. And we're close enough to the first of the year that this piece can still contribute to people's goals for the year. And there are six areas that goal setting is important. And I think the balance of those six areas is important. And I will say that I've been out of balance more years than I'd like to admit, chasing money or financial success or business success. But when I've been in a better balance, my overall life has been better. Hmm. And those six areas are spiritual, family, physical, mental, financial, and social. And you'll notice financial is only one of the six.
Right.
But if we can set goals and we can successfully balance our life in all of those areas, then I believe the money will come easier, it'll be less stressful, and you'll have a much better life overall.
I agree. And to your point, it's all balance. And all of us, you included, Richard, I know I have. I've met people where, you know, let's face it, the focus is all family and there's no focus on work. So the financial piece never happens. Or, and I hate to admit this, but there's folks that have also poured so much into the spiritual / church end of it that the family, the physical, even sometimes the mental and financial areas, you know, are a struggle as well. I've also seen folks where they spend so much time at the gym that family, spiritual, and financial also struggle. So again, any one of those areas you could focus on, and they're all great areas, by the way. There's nothing independently on their own wrong with any one of those areas unless it's out of balance.
That is exactly correct. And you can do too much or too little of any one of them, which will get you out of balance. And it's like tires on your vehicle. If you have one tire that's out of balance,
that's right,
it could affect the
that's
rest
a great
of the
example. No, that really, Richard, you know, being a car guy like I am, that is a fabulous example, because that one, just that one being out of whack can mess up everything.
I thought you might like that example.
Oh, it's perfect.
That's so true, and we see our culture today, it really pushes people to get out of balance in social life.
Oh, yeah.
With all of the social media and other things
as right.
well, it's very easy just to pursue that and lose all of the other areas. Yeah. In our life.
And by the way, folks, and I know, Richard, you will agree with me on this. No one said any of this balancing would be easy. I mean, there is an entire, and this is my opinion, that there's an entire book, 66 of, that, you know, talk about all of this and the balance of, and again, no one ever said this would be easy, but those that achieve this, I believe, Richard, really do achieve things in life.
Yes. And like I say, there's times I've been out of balance on one thing. Times I've been out mm-hmm. of balance on another. And
likewise,
I try each year when I set my goals to set goals in each of those six areas and try to work to attain those so that I can have the best balance possible. And by reviewing those goals periodically in my progress, that gives me a chance to course correct during the year so that, again, I can hopefully at the end of the year end up in the best balance situation.
All right, before we close, because we talked about this a few weeks ago, I had to throw this at you. Wall Street Journal today, the CEO who fired 900 people on Zoom is back, Richard. This knucklehead is still back, and the board of directors said, nope, he's got his job, he's doing a great job. And he went through a little learning curve there, but he's doing great.
Well, I didn't see the article, but I would be a little surprised if they got through their IPO without replacing him. And that could be a smokescreen during their executive mm-hmm. search. Who knows? Because to me, if I was an investor, I would have no confidence in his ability to lead the company in my investment.
We talked about this before. I just thought it was comical. I thought I had to throw that in here towards the end.
I'm glad you did.
Anyways.
Trust. Leadership is so much about trust.
It is.
And when you breach the trust of your employees and your investors, you can't get that back.
That's right. That's right. Spot on. Richard Battle, as always, I appreciate it, sir. God bless you. Thanks for all that you do for us and for taking time out of your week to join us each week.
My pleasure. God bless America. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Awesome. Richard, I appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. That's Richard Battle again, folks.